I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, we are back on the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. It's been 2 weeks, but it's Robin, it's Matt.
Good evening.
Here to talk Bills news with a UK twist. And I think in that 2 weeks, we've had obviously the disappointment of the Bills losing.
Ongoing disappointment, yes.
Ongoing disappointment, especially with a tweet from, what's his name? I had a tweet earlier from him. From Johnny the Mackin, who said that the Sulk's only just now started. Listening to our podcast from a couple of weeks back. So
I'm guessing he's been drinking so heavily over the past couple of weeks that he's only now just sobered up, and the reality is just coming to it. I wouldn't blame him.
But we actually have some good news to come out of it, and that is for the first time since 2015.
Yeah,
the Bills are coming back to your London.
Yes, and yes, they are giving up a home game.
Yes, well, to be honest, it would have been the ninth game anyway, because I think we were scheduled this year to have the extra game.
I think that's why they do it, isn't it? It's when you've got a 9 home game thing. Yeah, that's when that makes you a candidate, doesn't it, for an international game? Because then you can say to the fans, "Well, you're still getting 8 home games. Stop whining."
Yeah, so, I think. The one thing about it is obviously the opponents. Well, I think the way they've actually people have been talking about it, the only real opponents they can get or they potentially be for the Bills will be the Raiders or the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's it. That seems logical. I mean, I wouldn't completely rule out a divisional game. I think it's less likely than a Raiders Cowboys, but it's not. They have done the odd divisional game in London. So I wouldn't completely eliminate that. I mean, a Patriots game would be a lot of fun. Although
I think with that, I think Patriots are playing in Germany this year.
You're right. Yes, they are.
The Jets came over last year.
Yeah.
Dolphins maybe, but they've been over here Dolphins quite some time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. And I have to admit that when the news first came up, I was actually in a remote area. I was in an area of the New Forest with no signal at work. I wasn't there for the actual announcement. Well, as soon as I got back into signal range, I thought my phone would actually just blow up with the amount of notifications that I've got from that.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a lot. Well, I know it's going to be a lot better than last in 2015. A, obviously, the result hopefully will be a lot better. But B, there's been a lot of planning that's going on to this. And in a minute, we're going to bring on the guy I worked with back in 2015, my mate Danny, who is a promoter at NFL events.
Yeah.
To come on and talk a lot about the events actually lined up. But it's super exciting, and really, I think it's something that I think all Bills fans are going to love. And really, I think it's going to be a very good, very good weekend, hopefully, with a better result.
It's going to be a good time. I mean, for all that can be said, and we'll come to season review, and we'll probably mention the Super Bowl as well. Bills still went 13-3. Worst case, 13-4, even if we do lose to the Bengals game that never happened. We're still a good team. It will be a good game. And I would probably make us favourites, whoever we play, if it is the Raiders or if it is the Cowboys or whoever. Mm. We'll be a good team. We weren't a very good team back in 2015. And it's one of those times when the London game comes up, one of the reminders for as down as you want to get on the Bills because of the way the season ended, look how decent we are now, 8 years later, compared to the last time we played in London back in 2015. We're a like, legitimately good team now, and I don't think we should lose sight of that.
Yeah, I think it's good, because, I mean, it's exposing the Bills. I think, to be honest, I think the Bills came over the right time. I know fans are actually saying that, oh, we're losing home game for it, but most of you fans... most of them, they get to see him pretty much week in, week out. There's guys like us in the UK. Some of us managed to go over there. I mean, got likes of the Swedish Bills fans, the Italian Bills fans, German Bills fans, and all that. European ones that can't very often get to America and to Buffalo, but in London and Germany, if we had played there, would have been a lot better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's not easy getting into the USA if you've got a record. So, you know, it's difficult. We have to let them come to us. But that's the deal. They're growing the game internationally. They're growing it around the world. And everyone just gives up a game and they come over here and every single team absolutely loves it. I don't know. There's barely been a bad word said by anyone about a London game, has there? Almost every team that's come over have been like, we had a great time. Can't believe it, you know. Take me home, country roads. In the Hannah's going to correct me again. I almost said Berlin. It was Munich.
Yeah, anyway, I've got joining us now in the studio. Well, on remote from London himself is my friend.
I don't think we can carry that one off, Matt.
I can't carry off the studio bit, but they don't know this, so they don't know.
Yes.
They don't see the videos when we put it out. But now I'd like to introduce Danny to the show. He's helped me since 2015 with the Bills events, and obviously he's helping us now. So Danny, welcome. Thank you for coming on,
Danny.
Hello, chaps.
Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm still struggling since the Super Bowl night. We had a hell of a evening and a locking after. I'm literally still struggling, but no, thanks for inviting me. It's good to see you guys.
Yes, and I mean, as I say, we've been talking about it, but obviously I worked with you introduced yourself to me back in 2015. We put on a massive good event at the pipeline with the bus tour. Obviously now fast forward 8 years and we're back, and me and you have been working for a couple of years with a great great events for the whole weekend for the Bills fans, whether they're UK or international based.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm very lucky to have met you, and we've built a good friendship over the years, and I mean, we talk about many things, not just football. It's, you know, we had a fantastic time. You know, it's a shame the pipeline closed down, but yeah, the bus tours with when the Bills came on, you know, Michelle, it was great to have those chaps there, and not only that, we've continued being friends as well. So through social platforms, we've continued to still speak. But yeah, that 2015 is the past. We had a great time, but let's fast forward to what we've got planned. Is going to be epic. It's going to be a hell of a weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely.
So what do you got? What do you got planned, Danny? I can't wait to find out now. What's your scheme?
So, brainstorming with Matt, we sort of conjured up something to improve from 2015, and bus tours are great fun, and we wanted to continue that theme because there's going to be new people who didn't come in 2015, and there's also with the Bills really doing well in football, got more supporters, more fans in the UK. So we want to give them the opportunity to go on a London bus tour to see all the beautiful London landmarks, and being on a bus top, especially an open topper, a proper old school route master bus is really good fun. I'm sure Pinto, Ron, and all the Bills Mafia who came in 2015, who are, once again, they all are coming back, which is going to be fabulous. So yeah, we're going to kick off Friday with a couple of bus tours. And then after the bus tours, we're going to head back to the bar in London, which is going to be named shortly. We'll definitely be letting you guys know that. We've got a designated bar for the whole weekend. So the Friday is going to be bus tours, and then back to the bar. We're going to be doing a meet and greet. I'm sure Matt will be able to fill in with the special surprise things we got for that night.
Yeah.
Saturday, again, we're going to be doing more bus tours. And after the bus tour, we're going to be escorted to a pier. And then we're going to have a huge Bills, UK Bills Mafia boat party at night. That's going to be extremely exciting. If anybody wants to see our previous boat parties, they could can see our boat parties across our social platforms under nflevents.co.uk. And you could see all the previous parties that we've done there. And the boat party on the Thames at night is going to be bananas. But I have said to Matt, no smashing tables.
Yeah, so,
I don't want anybody going a bit too crazy and throwing themselves in the Thames, because that'd be a bit of a struggle for the Coast Guard and pulling a couple of Bills fans out of the River Thames, which will be quite outrageous. But and then on Sunday, we've got the game, and then after that, we will be going back to the bar, having a huge party as well. I didn't say after the boat party, we're going to be going back to the bar and partying until 3 a.m. because we've got a late license for all 3 days, but 3 a.m. license on the Saturday. So we're going to be enjoying ourselves. And then on the Sunday, we've got the game, and back to the bar. We'll be able to do some fun Q&As. Might have some special guests as well on the Sunday. I'm sure we will. So that will be announced in the foreseeable future. And then watching Red Zone and catching up with some good food and some football, like Red Zone and whatever the big game's going to be on that Sunday evening. And again, we've got a late license. So it's going to be 3 days of fun and madness, I expect.
Booze and wings.
Yes,
yeah, I'll plenty of say, yeah, get the wings ordered in. Yeah.
No, I mean, what me and Danny have done is actually actually going to be quite spectacular. And even if people don't get the tickets, which they are actually on sale now, we have to put a disclaimer on there that even though it says the 21st of October on there, obviously Danny reassured me that it's only just so they can actually get the tickets out on there, that if people don't get tickets for the boat tour and all that, they still can get a ticket just to actually enjoy the bar for the whole weekend. I'm sure Danny will explain a little bit more about what we want to call a weekend pass.
Yeah, we'll call it the weekend pass. Yeah, we could call that, I'm sure we can play around with the wording on that, but
I think the question people are actually going to just ask is, it obviously where, when, and actually and who can come. Because I mean, to be honest, I've had a couple of questions I've had when I first announced it was, is it open to everyone? Because some people seem to think there was exclusion, but it's anyone: London, Manchester, Exeter, Ireland, Italy, America, Buffalo, anywhere. You get tickets and get a ticket, come along and just have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got I'm a Raider fan myself, I've had Raider fans who have come to my other events and have already purchased tickets. So we don't want to discriminate on whatever team you support. It is going to be 99.9% Bills fans, that I can promise you, but you will have the percentage of the odd team here and there. But I'm happy.
If it's an AFC East team, we might just chuck them over and just say, yeah, just because don't even worry about them.
Well, how about we do this? Bengal fans, then we can say no Bengals fans. No, I'm joking.
I saw a guy with a Patriots jersey when I actually saw the Bills in Buffalo. Saw a guy with a Patriots jersey inside the stadium. So he must be a very, very brave man, or very, very hard. So yeah, no, the game's for everyone. So yeah,
no, absolutely. As I say, we've had in all our events, we've had people from different teams. We American football fans, or we should say football fans, are different to our English soccer fans. Mm. You know, it's kind of different ways of conducting themselves. And you know, I don't think in fact in all my NFL events I've done in all the years that I've been promoting. I've never had a fight in any of my American football events. And touch wood, hopefully we don't have any issues. But no, it's, you know, it's open to everybody.
Yeah, I think what we're gonna put on, I think, is going to be, as I keep saying, I'm probably gonna just keep reiterating it because I do believe it's what it's gonna be, and it's gonna be memory making for some people that may never have come to London before from Buffalo. Never ventured to actually watch a Bills game internationally, come on, and then all of a sudden you're met with the atmosphere that the UK Bills can actually bring, and what we put on with the sights and sounds. It's going to be just a special, amazing weekend, and one that memories will be made, and probably new friendships that people may not have actually thought would happen would actually happen. Especially if a couple of people from Buffalo that you may have spoken to on Twitter or on social media that you meet for the first time in person there, if they come along, or meet brand new people, it's all about the fans. It's all about giving the opportunity for the Bills Mafia in around the world to come to London, enjoy, which will hopefully be a Bills win, fingers crossed. Just an amazing atmosphere for those 3 days. And hopefully, I say, when we do that meet and greet, I know we're not going to say any names, Danny, but there are a couple of people that we believe, or we're going to try and get to come to it. And even though I've probably said this a couple of times, I think I know there's two ex-Bills players that definitely are coming. And they've told me that. So it's just going to be an event that if you miss out. If you come along, you're going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I was so shocked to hear how many people that did come in 2015 that are actually coming back. Because normally when you have a team that comes back, you know, you don't get the volume of fans, but it seems like there's going to be more. And we're going to have a fantastic time.
Yeah, I think the tickets have been on sale since the announcement of the Super Bowl.
Yep. So if you want to go to the UK Bills page on Facebook, I'm sure Matt can navigate you exactly where it is and can go via that. Also on the YouTube link that's been shared across all social platforms, there's a link there. And that goes straight to the ticket. But I would say try and get there ASAP because tickets are going quite quickly.
Yeah, and we'd love to put on more events, but it probably cost a bit of a bit more dough, which I think would be good in this economy for the businesses, but probably not good on your bank balance, Danny.
No, very true.
just one thing on the dates. Have we actually had the date actually announced to the game, or is it just currently a placeholder at the moment? Because I know people are obviously want to be sure it's on when it's on, don't we? But we had it confirmed?
Not yet. It's the date that's on the that when you go to the tickets is just a date, just so they can actually get the tickets from.
So just as a placeholder. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I don't know. It's usually about April, I think, when they
announce. Yeah, it's before the draft.
Just before the draft, isn't it? Usually comes out, doesn't it? And then the individual ones go on sale July because they have the sort of season ticket ones for Spurs, because that's Spurs, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
As much as I hate that, being a West Ham fan, I'm just definitely.
It's a good stadium. It's a good stadium.
I grant them it's a good stadium.
It's a good stadium. Lions, Saints. Whichever one was with the double doink on the crossbar. So it's a cracking game for NFL as well.
Yeah. Really good. But I mean, Danny, obviously we talked just before you came on about potential opponents, and I know you're a Raiders fan. I bet you're going to be happy, but also a bit nervous if the Raiders are the chosen opponents for the the Bills.
Well, if I wouldn't want to play the Bills because we'll get slaughtered. But I mean, I'd love for the Raiders to come back and my boys travel. But I've got my thoughts of going to Vegas anyway next season. So, and I'm certainly would love to get to Vegas for the Super Bowl weekend, because that's going to be crazy. But no, I mean, it's, I mean, have you guys looked at the schedule? Who you think it might be? Have you got?
We were just talking before we went on, weren't we? And the feeling is Raiders or Cowboys with a slight chance of an AFC East team. But if it's an AFC East team, maybe the Dolphins.
Right.
I think it's probably one of those. I think it's more likely to be Raiders or Cowboys, because the other teams that we're playing have kind of been to London in the past couple of years. So
yeah,
I mean, there's nothing stopping them going back again, is there? But
God, Bills, Cowboys,
Denver last year.
Yeah, replay of Super Bowl 27 and Super Bowl 28. Don't play very. Oh, and Thanksgiving game from a couple of years ago. I was trying to remember when the last time we played them.
But I think looking at it, obviously Jacksonville, we play them, but obviously they've got a home game already. Obviously Denver, they actually played last year. Tampa Bay, I think they played in Germany last year. Patriots are playing in Germany this year. Giants and Jets came over last year. So leave really the Raiders, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. I just have a feeling that Dolphins been here so long, so many times. Cowboys not so much.
Yeah.
So I'm predicting a Bills Cowboys game.
That would be a cracker, wouldn't it?
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be a great matchup.
Yeah.
They do Cowboys fans as well, don't they? So that'll be a lively one as well. You get a proper NFL game, wouldn't it? A proper road game for everybody.
Yeah. But I mean, Danny, it's always great to talk to you. We'll talk a lot more, me and you. Obviously, we have been the last month or so. We'll talk a lot more. But again, thank you for coming on. Obviously, if you give us listeners just briefing, if they want any questions to ask, if they want to ask you directly, where they can find you, and obviously once you just give them the actual link for the tickets, and just get promoting.
Yeah, so thanks for the invite. I really appreciate it. So, everybody knows that if they want to contact, I would suggest contact UK Bills, because I'd like everything to go via you, Matt. But they can find me on nflevents.co.uk, Danny Vega NFL, which is my Twitter handle. So those are my best social platforms to get hold of me. But ideally, being a UK Bills podcast, probably best to go via you, so then you can see exactly what's going on as well and hear what's going on. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
That's no worries at all. Well, Danny, I'll probably speak to you in the next couple of days. Absolutely. And hopefully once we get a few more events and guests lined up, we might get you back on to just talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you soon.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Bye.
Meet you soon.
Cheers,
buddy.
Bye. And
well, that's a news alert and a half, isn't it?
Yes.
Make sure you have enough life jackets and boats and what do you call them? Rescue boats, Titanic.
Surely you're going to be coming along.
Lifeboats. That's it. Make sure you got enough lifeboats. Because if people are drinking till gone midnight on a boat, Bills fans, that could get a little musical.
You coming? You going to be coming?
I don't know. And obviously, teetotalers just love being around drunk people once they've been drinking for a solid 6 or 7 hours. But in all seriousness, I will be around somewhere at some point, even if I do a thing. The only slight catch is I already booked our holiday to. I think I'm allowed to say, because I don't think any of my immediate family. Oh, actually, I won't say. Going on holiday, and it's because we just came back, and then as soon as you come back from holiday, it's like, oh, I have to book another holiday. So we're going on holiday in October before they made the announcement that the Bills were going to be playing in London. So with any luck, it won't be when the Bills are there, but obviously I can't make a commitment until I know when the thing comes out. But yeah. One way or another, I will be there, even at the Fitzroy or at the bar on the Saturday night or something like that. I'll put in an appearance, because there's going to be some Buffalo natives going, who I chat to on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Obviously, morning of the game, we'll all be down the Fitzrovia and then pile up to Spurs for that bloody long walk. So yeah,
it's gonna be
mad. Bills fans are gonna absolutely love it. The ones who didn't go in 2015 or weren't around for it, it's gonna be fantastic.
I know there's a load of people that came last year. I mean, this has been endorsed by good old Pinto Ron. He's coming with most of his crew. Loads of guys I met in 2015 are coming along again. Some new people I'm talking to are coming along, which it's great. I mean, it's, as I said in the interview, it's going to be memory making. Even if the Bills don't come back for another 10 years, which hopefully is not going to be the case. If they do and we're host again, then I think it's going to be I'm going to have to figure out something that's actually going to top that party.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky, that one, isn't it? But
you just look at, I say, new people, new memories being made, result hopefully better, and it's just going to be a really fun weekend. And what Danny said, me and you echo, is just keep following the UK Bills on the socials, because we will start releasing more and more details as we get towards. Because as Danny said, there are a few things that we're still finalising, especially with guests wise. Mm-hmm. And I think, without saying anything, Robin, you probably know.
I've got an idea who might be there. I know there's a few ex-players that almost always travel as well. So if they're going to be in town and they don't mind stopping by for 20 minutes, then there's a lot of players. I actually walked past one when I was in New Orleans as well. I won't say his name, but he always goes to the games as well. Mm. So he's like, oh my God.
I would say you do know of two, because I think I've told you and I've told Mark on the on the podcast chat that definitely are in the midst of coming. We'll wait before we actually announce those. But
yeah,
I say it's going to be a good thing to break up the badness of last season.
Season
just gone, and
took our minds off it for 20 minutes, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, generally, what we actually what we witnessed last year, I mean, it is ups and downs, but I think at the beginning of the year, when we did the predictions, I think I said if we had 13 to 15 wins, I would class that as a successful season.
Yep, and I hopefully we've got the receipts, but I did predict we'd lose to the Jets as well.
You talk about because
both of you absolutely ripped the piss out of me as well.
The pain
still stings. But Mark predicted that we might lose to the Vikings, so he was right. I remember him saying about the Vikings, so he was right about that. But I mean, you say ups and downs. I mean, 13-3 is a damn sight more many ups than downs.
Mm.
I think the problem that we had, and I think part of why the disappointment has probably lingered, not least that there's that feeling of another year's gone by, another thing, is that the moment we lost to the Chiefs in the 2021 season, we were almost heralded at that point the Super Bowl champions, just the Super Bowl champions elect. Almost every preseason prediction was the Bills. We were the bookies' favourite. We were the Las Vegas favourite. We started the season against the Rams, played absolutely fantastic. Now, as it turns out, the Rams had a serious hangover that season. So that result in the context, probably not that surprising, but still Super Bowl champions in their own yard. We then go and beat the Titans. Mm. We have a nail biter against the Dolphins, but we come back. We steady the ship, looked like it was going down against the Ravens, come back to beat the Ravens. It's like, right, okay, we're back. Absolutely blow away the Steelers, which again, in context, now looks like a much better much better result than the Steelers pulled themselves together. You know, we go into the bye, we beat the Chiefs. You know, we go in, I probably missed one, but we go in at, I think, 5-1, didn't we? 5-1 and 6-1 into the bye. And it just seemed like we almost were unbeatable, and it seemed like we were probably believing our own hype. And as we always say about other teams, that game plan that Ken Dorsey had, there was then enough film, and he didn't come back with a plan B. And maybe that's because of his first year of his, you know, he had all these great ideas, and you do something until it stops working, don't you? And we did it. And almost if we'd had a poorer start to the season, like the Bengals did, and to a certain extent the Chiefs, we almost would have had to fix more things. But because we'd started so well, we almost had to ride that almost to the end. And I think part of that disappointment comes from when you now look what the loss of Von Miller was, what the loss of Micah Hyde was, the fact that so many players, of course, everyone's walking wounded at the end of the season, but you could see that Jordan Phillips, Daquan Jones and Ned Oliver were carrying injuries. So was Jordan Poyer. And I'll just leave it before you come in. A guy I really respect on the NFL Network, Peter Schrager, always has these little odd comments that sort of pop in that always somehow managed to lodge in my memories. And when they were talking about Damar Hamlin, and God bless him, he looks like he's going to be okay. So yeah, everything after that's just a bonus. So God bless him, he's going to be great. He's going to be fine. After that, Peter Schrager said, "Well, I mean, everyone's just going to be backing the Bills for the Super Bowl to go all the way. This is the thing." And then he went, "And I just wonder if they just might run out of steam." And he said something like, words to that effect, like all that having to overcome all those obstacles and the injuries and those things and moving the you know, and being snowed in and having to, you know, switch stadiums and fly out early to play the Bears and that kind of thing. And he said, "I just wonder if they're just going to run out of steam." And in that Bengals game, I just think we did.
Yeah, I think it's the narrative towards the end of the season where we had, let's say, the snow game, we had the whole Hamlin issue incident, that fans were saying, especially Chief fans more than anything, Bengals fans as well in there, that the NFL were, it was almost like they were rigging the league. Yes. And rigging everything to make sure the Bills made the Super Bowl. And I mean, even that is blasé, so to speak, because
it's lazy thinking, isn't it? You always think the refs are biased against your team, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, Bengals deserve to think that.
And then you see that hold, or that so-called hold. Well, obviously it was a hold.
the Super Bowl hold.
Jersey pull towards the end of the Super Bowl game, which
was obviously nothing flag, wasn't it?
And obviously all the stuff that Chiefs have had. This is not a Chief bashing thing, but
go on, Chiefs, get it out.
The Chiefs have had their fair share of calls which have favoured them, which people will say, okay, that's not a penalty and all that. That shouldn't have been called and all that. Yeah. And you just try to think that the NFL, I don't think they want to play favourites. If they did, then they would have actually, especially with Tua, for example, they would have told him, "You're not playing for the rest of the season. Take him out, don't even put him back in." With Mahomes, he's out injured. We don't want Chiefs to progress, so you're not bringing him back in. That's how the NFL would rig it. I mean, fair play to the Bengals at the end of the day. They came to us. They had the game plan. They beat us. They outpaced us. They actually, I had a bad feeling that on that first game, when we were supposed to play him, there was going to be pretty much the same result.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, yeah, fine. We've got that hangover. We've had that emotional few weeks from Hamlin. But you've got to look back at some of the success, really, that managed.
We beat the Chiefs. We beat the Super Bowl champions. Yeah. We started the season beating the last Super Bowl champions. We beat the team that went on to win the Super Bowl that season in their yard.
Mm.
You can't take that away from us. When it came back to beat the Ravens, we had a huge, we only, the three games we did lose, we lost by a total of 8 points.
Mm. I think where you look at it, you look at the successes. I mean, it took a while to actually come. I think it was week 12 or so when it came in, but that run game started to appear. James Cook looks a brilliant prospect.
Yeah, looks good. I mean,
you've got the emergence of Christian Benford.
Yeah.
Kiara Lamb actually had a good season.
Settled down. Trey White was beginning to get back to his old self as well, wasn't he? He took a few games to come back, fair enough.
Edmonds and Milano.
Serious injury, yeah.
Edmonds and Milano in the linebackers. Edmonds
is the talking point, isn't he? Edmonds is going to be the talking point of the offseason, isn't he?
And even...
What do you do? Quick question. Sign? Yeah. That guy? You think sign?
Well, Edmonds.
Edmonds, yeah. We won't do the whole team. Let's just stick to Train.
I think they will.
We'll say that for another episode. But
I think they will. I think as much as I love Poyer, I think if he comes back on a team-friendly deal, being he's 32, he's going to be 32 come into season. If he can come back on a team-friendly deal and they can play around with the cap, I could see him both being. If you had to, if I had to put it down the middle on one or the other and had to stay from a flag, I would say Edmonds more because he's what? This is going to be his sixth year in the NFL and he's only going to be 25.
Yeah, still only 25, yeah.
And he has not even yet hit his prime. And we saw what's happened this season when he had come out. And him and Milano pretty much have that telekinesis almost, that they know they can read each other quite well. And that's what we need, continuity. I mean, you look at Russo, another one who had a decent breakout season. Okay, he's gone missing a couple of times, but his stats were all up from last year. Okay, that probably could be because Von Miller taking away some of the pressure on there. But even without that, he still made a bit of a name. And even Daquan Jones, probably the unsung hero.
Yeah, no, he's been fantastic.
Of that defense, he was shown that he's was one of the most important signings we've actually made. So there are a hell of a lot of ups. And that first six, and the first up to the bye week, that offense was electric.
Yes.
But there are downsides. And I think we all had the discussion at the end of the season. What's going to happen? Should we sack Dorsey? Should we get rid of Frazier? Should we let this lineman go? People were actually clamoring for it. I mean, I will admit, I was in the boat to actually say that there is a chance that they should just pretty much refresh it.
Yeah.
Because some of the decisions Frazier made towards the end of the season in the playoffs were a bit dodgy, to say the least.
Yeah.
But again, you can look, say the offense struggled a bit, came good towards the end, but that one, I think you can probably give him a pass just for the season, a bare pass. Because of just that offense itself. So the offensive line, the receiving course and all that. And that comes down to Brandon Bean and the front office and the scouting team.
Yeah.
The fact that they haven't scouted properly enough or don't do their due diligence a lot and want to focus more on one thing than the other. And It just reminds me of what the Chiefs have been doing for the last few years, and I'll get to that in our off season preview when we look to previous season. That they had a blueprint, they stuck to that blueprint, and they're now reaping the rewards of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills, they're more of a reactive than think of their own. They'll just react. Okay, this is what we need to do. This is how the Chiefs got beat. Let's just put all our eggs in that basket. Forget about the others. But that's more reactive, not proactive, and actually not forward thinking. I think that's what this front office needs. But as I say, there were loads of highlights for this season.
Oh yeah.
I think come what may, 13-3, as I say at the beginning, is I'm happy with that. If it was anything less than that, I would kind of be a bit, oh, fucking hell, that's not going to be good. That's a Sean McDermott on the hot seat type. Hot seat the next season.
But he's done enough. He's done enough, more than enough, really. You don't sack either a GM or an OC or a DC or a head coach after a 13-3 season. You just don't.
No, exactly.
If we're getting into the pattern, and you can maybe say that's three seasons now, we haven't gone as far, with the possible exception of 2020, we haven't gone as far as we maybe should have done, then I think one more year, the 2025 season, I think McDermott would be under a bit more pressure because it's that sense, and I think I said it on the last episode about has he taken the team as far as he can go? Has Leslie Frazier got enough out of that defence that it's possible for him to get? And to your point about reactive, it's a very good point because we need a pass rush because we saw what Tampa Bay did to the Chiefs. We saw what the Bengals did to the Chiefs. We need a pass rush like them. And we've gone out and done that. Now I'm holding on perhaps more in hope than expectation that whoever said it, and I was hoping it was Von Miller, but it might have been someone else, that it takes 5 years to become an edge rusher. And I don't know if that's completely true. I really hope it is. It takes 5 years before you're a proper edge rusher. We've still got three players. I think that's it for the investment of that defensive line and the pass rush. They now just need to get better. Now, we've got a new D-line coach, haven't we, that's come in. You hope that he can coach them up to get some more consistent rather than flashy performances. Otherwise, I think defensively, I think you're looking at perhaps trade capital or trading those guys in, or at the very least, you just don't pay them. I think we're probably agreed we need in the first three picks, and I don't care in what order, I think we need wide receiver, or even if there's a decent second tight end out there, but a wide receiver stroke tight end, and then a sort of center guard or guard as those first three picks. And bear in mind, when I think about, are we too far? You saw how many times the Chiefs' offensive line let Mahomes get sacked 3-4 times earlier in the season, and then saw them against the Eagles. They didn't give up anything. You know, and that's just using the same stuff. That's just using the gap between not being quite good enough and being good enough to win the Super Bowl is much closer than not being in the playoffs and getting into the playoffs. You know, everyone's really excited about the Lions at the moment. Everyone's really excited about the Jaguars. You know, we had a great win in the playoffs against the Chargers, gave the Chiefs a good game, should have beaten them, just like the Bengals should have. But they made it through. But the gap between where the Jaguars need to be and then being a championship team is way further than it is for the Bills. Bills get a better offensive line, get another year of growth from the defensive line, one more receiver or one more tight end. Shakir gets a year older. Gabe Davis making more settled. Keep Stephon Diggs happy. That's still good enough for 13, 14 wins. And then it's, hope you get a bit more of a rub of the green with your injuries and your key players, and we can still ride back to the Super Bowl.
I think the one thing that did let us down was after that bye week is just getting the receivers involved. It seemed like we were more invested in just going to Diggs. I mean, Davis, give him credit. He actually outdid his total from last year, I believe, in the regular season. But outside that, they didn't really have anything else to go to. I mean, when Beasley came in, he didn't get targeted that much. It's just McKenzie was supposed to be that go-to guy now in the slot.
I think he's had his go. I think he's had his year. He was flashy in the 2021 season. He came back for, I think off the top of my head, about $4 million. Came back and let's give you a shot now. We don't have Cole Beasley anymore. And I just no.
I think
he's dropped behind Shakir. He's dropped behind Davis. If you get another tight end and another receiver, I think they'll immediately be in front of him. I think he's had his.
Because you look at it, you look at the season, and I'm just going to just flip into the regular season here. That you could see how where they were going to. I mean, if Diggs wasn't open, it was Davis after that.
Yeah.
Diggs in the regular season finished with 1,429 yards at 13 yards per reception. Gabe Davis was second with 835 at 17 yards per reception. After that, obviously, we've got Dawson Knox, but after that, Dawson Knox had 517 yards, Isaiah McKenzie, 423 yards. The next good wide receiver after that was Shakir with 161 yards. It seems like they need to, and this is something to work on in the offseason, to get more production out of this wide receiver crew and not rely mainly on Stephon Diggs, because he had what? Total of 149 targets.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis, 93. And Knox, 65. McKenzie, 62. You're getting more and more. You get even less receptions between Knox and McKenzie than combined than Diggs.
Yeah, I think it's, like I say, it's never always one thing. It's always like a combination of things, and it's getting everything hooked up together, you know, gets you the results. I think it's a combination. We don't know how much Josh's arm was bothering, because certainly the second half of the season, he didn't look to be anywhere near as confident. You wonder about how much confidence he had in the offensive line, with a pretty leaky offensive line, certainly in the second half. And you wonder again that defenses were beginning to get wise to Ken Dorsey's game plan and his perhaps failure to adjust. Now, that's the sort of thing you might expect from a rookie OC. Give him another year. He was good enough to get another year. I know a lot of people just fire Ken Dorsey and what you're doing hiring a rookie and that kind of thing. Well, McDermott plays the long game, doesn't he? He goes for, you know, those longer investments if he thinks that, you know, Dorsey's the guy. So I think, you know, you get a better offensive line, a completely fresh Josh Allen with a bit more confidence in that line, with another receiver, with slightly, you know, more expansive game plans. I think you could definitely see much better results in the 23 season.
And I think you just look at it. You look at also the talent side of it. I mean, we released Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah.
And he pretty much...
Well, arrived for the Giants, didn't he? But the thing is, how bad was the receiving core for the Giants that kind of made him look good? Would you really put Isaiah Hodgins ahead of... Which wide receiver would you make way for to keep Isaiah Hodgins on the 53? With the Bills,
I would have said Kumaro to start with.
Special teams guy,
obviously, even when they actually signed John Brown and actually and Cole Beasley, I think at the time, especially with Brown, they had Hodgins still there. And he's shown in preseason that he can do it. He's a guy that I liked quite a lot, and I was really rooting for him to actually make a difference. And he could have been that player, because Diggs, they know they like to move Diggs around a lot. But having, obviously, Diggs, McKenzie and Hodgins, and Hodgins was no slouch. He was a quick guy.
Yeah.
And learned quite well. Having those three would have made us a lot better. But that's by at the end of the day, and something that this off-season that the front office are going to have a look at. But the one thing I want to say is, obviously, it's something that people may know or may not know, but obviously we all know about the Madden curse. If you're on the cover,
yes,
you're pretty much fucked for the next season. But there is now the Josh Allen curse.
The curse of 17. Yeah,
curse of 17. And all that.
Nice catchy name for it, yeah. And I went to check, so you told me this before, and yeah, you're absolutely right. I went and checked it. No team that has beaten the Josh Allen Bills offense in the playoffs has gone on to win the whole thing.
Exactly, and that's been there four of the five years.
Yeah.
4 out of the 5 years, and everyone's lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Texans lost to the Chiefs. Chiefs lost to the Bengals. Chiefs who lost to the Bucks. Chiefs again, who lost to the Bengals, and then the Bengals were lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So yeah, good company.
But I mean, it's a season really put to end it. It's a season that really has its moments. It's got us optimistic. It's also got us worried that the window could be closing, and obviously, or could still be there. But obviously, a lot of work's got to go in that off season now to really make us that competitive. Because to be honest, at the moment, I see the Bills as the third team in the AFC.
As of right now, we are the third best team. I would also say we are clearly the third best team in the AFC, meaning I think we're some ways ahead of the fourth and fifth best team in the AFC. Mm. We're definitely the best team in the AFC East.
Yeah.
Obviously, Miami may come back stronger next year. The Jets may get a quarterback and come back stronger. I can't see any way back for the Patriots. I think they're just a dead duck now. I think Belichick's just, he's only holding on through bloody mindedness. I can't see the Patriots getting it. He's a coal ship in an oil age or something. You know, it's been done. So your route to the playoffs for the Bills is winning the AFC East, and I think I make them the favourites for the next two or three years at least.
I think with the Patriots and Belichick, it's Brady made Belichick, then Belichick made Brady.
Yeah, it's starting to look like that, isn't it? It really is.
And until Belichick actually can coach and actually leave someone else to be a general manager, because I know he does it both, the Patriots, as you say, probably will not get close to taking the AFC East or even trying to even get into playoffs. We could be wrong, we could not. But
they've had their championships. It's time for them to be a bit fallow. And then what they'll need is a new GM and a new head coach, and they'll be a challenger again. But I just don't see it.
But yeah, no, I think, as I say, the season has its moments. I mean, what was your, before we end it, what was your best moment of the season?
Oh, the Tara Johnson interception against the Chiefs.
I was going to say, it could have been a play, it could have been a game, it could have been a...
I immediately thought play. You mean just...
No, it could be anything for this season.
Anything Bills related.
Yes, for this season. You can go with the Taron Johnson play. I mean, you can do a play, you can do something else. Just a couple of highlights.
That was the first one that went to me. The other one I absolutely love, it's another play, but the Josh Allen touchdown on half time as it ticked, went past and tick zero, I think, to James Cook in the end zone, where Josh just flushed to the right, hangs on, finds his guy, throws across the middle, James Cook play. Non-footballing play, I just think the way the team formed that ring, I think the Bengals, DeMar Hamlin situation, I think you can't not take a minute to acknowledge just how extraordinary that was. And all you know, and I know there's a few idiots, Bengals fans having a joke and stuff, but for the most part, I thought the Bengals whole organization was extremely classy, and I thought the whole thing was what could have been almost was just an absolute tragedy. Just ended up being, I think, an incredibly uniting positive moment ultimately for everyone. So yeah, I'll still an obvious choice, but I just thought the whole way it went, the way McDermott held the team together, the way the players all came together, the way the opposition players all came together, the way they just went, "No, we're not playing now." We're not playing, and the league came up with a fudged solution, but the way they did, and it was as fair. And if the price for that is that we get beat by the Bengals, and the Bengals maybe definitely got the worse end of that, but they went and won, and it basically ended up being the championship game that it would have been had the Bengals have won that game, because the Chiefs still would have been the number one seed even if the game had gone and the Bengals had won it. So the only difference would have been the Bengals maybe would have been playing at home in that, and we would have gone and same result. So I think maybe they would feel that justice was perhaps seen to be done there. How about you?
I think for me, obviously, it is... It's mainly just the games, the close games that we won, that we came back from behind. We actually shut down that narrative. I mean, as much as my heart was actually racing, I was actually home behind cushions and all that, it was that excitement that this team won't give up unless it's completely out of the... they've been completely blown out. They won't give up. And I think it's those very late wins... that really is the best part of that season, because it shows what this team can do, what this team is like, and bodes well for the unity that going forwards. And the other one is just what we've actually managed to do as a UK Bills as a whole. Obviously the meetups at the Fitzrover, actually getting Sky down there for the Thanksgiving game. Aaron Williams coming over, when he came over for the London game, he actually came over, hanged with us for a while. And I think it's just that, and obviously thanks to the guys, to Bridget, to Becca and all that, who have held the fort down there whilst I've been trying to get up there every so often. I think it's the community that we're creating as the UK Bills, and obviously now looking forward to next year and the game, and just to obviously keep following us on the socials at UK_Bills for more news and more information. Keep an eye on that, on the pinned post, there is the link for the tickets. So as we said earlier, be involved this weekend, that weekend, whether you do get a ticket or do come to the bar for the weekend. Make memories, enjoy a time. Keep following, as always, us on social, Robin, Mark, myself on the socials. And all I can say is, for Robin, it's Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah,
no,
not us. You don't know anything about Mark. You
don't
know anything about work, huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.